22nd of January this year, I preached a message called When Jesus Doesn't Make Sense. And in it, I shared a desire, a resolution, a challenge to know Jesus more intimately this year. And I'm still wanting and still trying to do that. I'm wanting to learn more about him, love him more intimately, follow him more closely, know him more betterly, obey him more diligently. I'm really still trying to do that, and I'm passionate about doing that. And I didn't get far reading through the Gospels until I came to another passage which I've kind of just been chewing over these last couple of weeks. Again, I've been struck just by simple words of genius from Jesus. So in your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. And the word's going to be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." My message today is called, "What Does Your Fruit Say About You?" And I want to ask us the question, what is your life producing, and what is that saying about the kind of person you are? There are three things I'd just like to bring and take us on a journey this morning, trying to get us to answer those questions and see what we can do with that information. And the first thing is the edict of fruitfulness. An edict is something that is proclaimed by an authority. It's a law. It is something that is mentioned by someone in authority which has an effect on your life. And Jesus said in verse 43, "No tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." And how many people know that Jesus doesn't actually really say anything original? Now, you may be shocked at that. But Jesus actually said it himself. In John 8, verse 28, Jesus says, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." And Jesus was there in the beginning when God talked about the edict of fruitfulness. Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12, God says, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." Okay, not according to random chance, not according to what you feel like, but according to their various kinds, which means that you'll produce what you're made of. So a banana tree shall produce bananas. An apple tree shall produce apples. An orange tree shall produce oranges. A money tree shall produce... I wish it did. You know, when I was a kid, I'd go and ask my dad for some money. I'd say, "Dad, have some money, I want to buy something." And he'd say, "Yes, of course, son. I'll just go get it off the money tree." And he'd kind of do this little walk. And I thought for a while that money actually did grow on trees. Because, you know, you'd say, "Oh, can I have something?" He'd say, "Oh, does money grow on trees?" And I'd think, "I don't know, does it? I wish we could have one. That would be really good." But no, of course, it doesn't grow on trees. But the Bible makes it very clear that every single person, every single one of us produces fruit. Not the edible kind. Okay, it's not as if you have a pile of grapes come out from under your armpits. But the Bible does use a particular word when it comes to producing human fruit. The Greek word used in the New Testament is karpos. And it means this: of works or deeds, the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. I'll say it again. Of works or deeds, the visible expression of inward power working invisibly. Okay, so what's working inside of you comes out. And then I had a little footnote underneath it, and it said, "The character of the fruit is determined by the character of the power at work." You see, it was when I was reading this that I was struck by a thought. What kind of fruit am I producing? And what does it say about who I am? What's coming out of me is an expression of what's going on inside. And I guess that every single one of us produces fruit in many areas in our lives. See, I think the one that firstly came to my mind was biological fruit, the fruit of our loins. You know, I'm sure you've seen children and you say, oh, they look just like their father. Or they have their mother's eyes. And I see we have a new fruit in this morning, our latest member coming into the family. And so, you know, you can see that we produce fruit biologically. We also produce fruit spiritually too. When we pray and when we believe for something and we trust God and we see it happen, that's the fruit of our faith coming into being. Every time you open your bank statement and you see that word interest and a little figure next to it, however small or large it might be, that's the fruit of your finances. Something that you didn't actually put in yourself. We produce relational fruit, the fruit of our friendships. When our friends are loyal, when they sacrifice, when they're generous, when they put themselves out to help us, that's fruit that we get from our friendships. We produce educational fruit. The fruit of our study, if you have a qualification or an exam or you have some kind of certificate or letters after your name, that's fruit of your study. Professional fruit is the fruit of your effort or your work or vocation. If you get promoted or you have a pay rise or you get an award at work, that's the fruit of the hard work and effort that you've put in into your work. So if every person produces fruit in various areas of their life, the question I want you to consider this morning is, what's your fruit saying about you? Now, Jesus again talks about this in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like, a man scatters seed on the ground. Henry Ford said, you can't build a reputation on what you're going to do. It's true, isn't it? You can't build your reputation on intentions. And if you're waiting around for something to do for God, do something. Go scatter some seed. He said the kingdom of heaven is like it. A man scatters his seed. He doesn't think, I might scatter some seeds today. No, he goes and does something. And he fully well knows that not all those seeds are going to bear fruit. Some are going to get wasted. But he does something. And so if you're thinking, well, what shall I do for God? What is there for me to do? Do something and let God steer you. The verse continues, the man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So every day of our lives, whether we're asleep or whether we're awake, and I think that refers to both groups of people here this morning, whether we're actively striving, whether we're serving God, whether we're doing something in a ministry, whether we're talking to our friends or our neighbors or our colleagues, everything that we're doing, we are producing and bearing fruit. There is something that's going on from inside of us that is coming out through our lives. It's a natural law, a spiritual edict. God calls us to be fruitful. So everything that we're doing, everything in our life, everything that we're trying to build towards, fruit is being produced from who we are and it's being visible to people around us. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is the example of fruitfulness. See, now that we've laid the groundwork, now that we know that anything that we're doing in our lives, anything that's happening in our lives is producing fruit, even without us trying, let's look at the next thing that Jesus says about it. Verse 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. And Jesus here is giving us a horticultural example about spiritual law. About identifying what a person is really like by looking at what they produce. Let's illustrate this by looking at the side screens. We're going to do what I've called the tree identification test. And what I want you to do is look at the picture, and I want you to be able to identify what kind of tree that is. Okay, so have a little look. Maybe you want to do it as a bit of a quiz and see how many you get. Do you want to write down your answer or just think it out? Anyone got any ideas what they think that tree is at all? Anyone? An oak tree? Okay, I hear that. A green tree? Okay, thank you very much. Extra classes for you after church. Okay then, well, let's see if any of you got the answer. The answer is an apple tree. Anyone get that? Okay, all right, let's have a look at the next one. Okay, that's the next one. Anyone know what that one is? Okay, we've got an oak tree. Anyone have another guess? A pear tree. Anyone else? Okay, the answer is a pear tree. Wow, someone was there this morning in the first service. Okay, and then thirdly, let's have a look at our third tree. What's this one? Okay, banana or apple tree, all right. Okay, well, let's have a look at the answer. It's a pomegranate tree. Come on. None of you got that, did you? Well, I'm not surprised, you know, that we found it difficult to be able to identify those trees. Why? Because there was no fruit on them. Exactly. Because what we do is we identify a tree by its fruit. Unless, of course, you're one of those really intelligent horticulturalists who can tell exactly what it is just by looking at it. We usually have to wait until we can see some fruit before we can identify what it is. The Message version of verse 44 says, "You don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree." So that means, you know, that we produce what we are. We produce, we show the evidence of what we are as a person. The question remains, though, how do we recognize what kind of a fruit a person is producing? I mean, when we look at people, how can we tell what they're like inside? How can we tell what's coming off from inside of them? Well, the answer to that is twofold. Number one, through what they say. And number two, through what they do. So you can't tell if a person is a Christian just by physical appearance. If you were to walk down the street in Newtown, would you be able to tell two people walking towards you if one was a Christian or not? Well, perhaps if one had sandals and a robe and a big Jesus badge, then you might be able to. But just by looking at two people, could you tell or not? See, it's very difficult to tell what a person's like just by looking at their physical appearance. You need to be able to listen to them. Need to be able to watch their behavior, see what they're into, see what they do, how they react to people, how they treat people, how they speak about people. Now that starts us to be able to identify what a person is really like. And you need those kind of things to come out before you can tell what a person is truly like. For instance, the picture coming up on the side screens now is a picture of a young man in his late teens and early 20s. You can't tell much about him. You can't really tell what kind of a person he is. He just has, you know, dark, short hair. You know, he looks quite slim, but you can't really tell too much about him until you find out that his name is Timothy McVeigh. And in April the 19th, 1995, he blew up a truck bomb in front of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, killing 168 people. But from the outside, you couldn't tell that the person who could think and do and commit that terrible atrocity, you couldn't tell that that was inside of the person. It's your actions and your words that reveal what kind of person you are inside. It's not what you look like, although very often your face reveals what's happening inside of here. So if you want to know what you're really like, do this little test. Go to somebody who you trust and who knows you well and ask them to list for you the top five things you talk about and the top five things you do. Okay, not like go to work, ride a bike or stuff like that, okay? But the kind of things you do as a person. And that's kind of really somebody who knows you and who you trust revealing to you what they think your fruit is. And of course, that will show you what you're like inside. The Bible tells us that we should be growing annually in fruitfulness and that righteous people should not retire from being fruitful. It doesn't say that as you grow older, then you shall slack off a bit more. But Psalm 92, verse 14, talking of the righteous, it says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. And it's God's intention that as we mature, as we grow older, physically and spiritually, that we should be producing more fruit. We shouldn't be thinking, oh, my better days are behind me. Not at all. Not at all. Fruitfulness is still appointed to people, doesn't matter how old they are. We should not be slacking off the more we grow old. I was thinking about that this week, because a lot of fuss has been made about the Queen's birthday. She's been 80 this week, and one of her birthdays, whatever, she has a few, doesn't she? So she's 80 this week, and you know, the paper has been full with pages of what the Queen does and how she benefits our land and our sovereign state and all this kind of stuff. And I was just thinking, this lady is 80 years old, but yet still does in her diary what things that people 50 years later would still have trouble doing. Earlier, younger, that's the word. You know, she has such an incredible workload. You know, and whatever you think about the Queen, whatever you think about having a royal family, it doesn't really matter, because you look at this person who is still bearing fruit, who is still influencing people's lives, who is still managing to do a whole lot of stuff in her 80th year. And that's inspirational, whichever way you look at it. You know, I wonder what kind or what example of fruit are we producing? Now, if we were to kind of physically embody what we're producing in a fruit, what would that be like? And I wondered whether this morning that some of us are producing lemons. You know, a lemon makes people react strongly to you. You're only good in small doses. I wonder if people would say that's your fruit today. I wonder if people would describe your fruit as a grape. You may think you're small and insignificant, but under the right circumstances, can ferment into something powerful. I wonder if you're a prune this morning. Some people like you, some don't. Too much, and people run. Or I wonder if you're a watermelon. People come to you to get refreshed, and there is plenty to go round. You know, Jesus here used the example of trees to focus and to show us, to example for us, that you can't fool God, and you can't permanently fool people. See, when we get the illustration of fruit that comes out of our lives, it will show us inevitably what's happening on the inside. You see, you don't find an apple tree producing bananas. You produce what's inside of you. It comes out. It's natural. The kind of person you are is identified by the fruit that you produce. The third thing this morning is the evidence of fruitfulness. Our next verse, verse 45, says, good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. And evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now this is where we start to get personal. So far it's been theory, some illustration, some information. But this is where I've been heading. The question again is, what does your fruit say about you? What evidence is there on show to everybody who you know that reveals what your life is all about? Gil Grissom says, the evidence never lies. And the evidence of what's happening inside of your life is shouting out loud to everybody who you know. People in your family, people you work with, people you share your life with. It's saying, this is what I am all about. Now, the thing that I'm worried about, both for myself and for you guys this morning, is that what if the fruit that I'm showing is not what I'm about, or not what I think I'm about, or not what I want to be about? What if my fruit is that I'm selfish, or spiteful, or lazy, or carnal? What if people think that I'm a gossip, or I'm flaky, or I'm insecure, or I'm rude? And I guess very often we are more consumed with what we want people to think of us than what we really are. See, but what we have inside of us comes out anyway. So it doesn't really matter what we think we are, the evidence never lies. It comes out of us. And what we want to be, what the fruit that we want to have coming out of us, is grace and mercy. It's love, it's hope, it's kind of being what Jesus would be like. That's what we want to come out of us. But is that what our lives are really producing? Now, you know, I think it's true that every single one of us make mistakes. However hard we really try to be Christ-like, however much we try to live out the kind of life God wants us to, we all make mistakes. Something will come out and you think, I wish I didn't say that. Or an attitude will get revealed. Or we'll react to someone the wrong way. Perhaps too strongly. Perhaps out of our frustrations. Perhaps out of our insecurity that someone's pointed out something. We think, I don't like that. And we react a little strongly to it. Well, I kind of think that's natural because we're not perfect, are we? But the problem comes if those things that I've just mentioned come out all the time. If it's not the exception. If it's stuff that comes out regularly from us, then that's an indication that there's a problem in here. That's an indication that the health of the tree is not very healthy. And Jesus said, good things, evil things, stored up in our hearts. And I've been giving that some thought this last couple of weeks. How do we store up good and evil in our heart? How do we do that? You know, because intentionally and in reality, I don't want to store up evil in my heart. And I guess you don't either. You don't want to be somebody who dwells and gets excited about being evil and wicked. We don't want to do that. But yet, when there's stuff that comes out of us, how does it get there? You know, if we're not intentionally storing it up, how do we get it? How does it come out from us? Well, Jesus in that verse, in the original Greek, refers to good treasure and evil treasure. And so how do we store evil treasure in our lives? A verse from Proverbs 12 has helped me get some insight on this. Proverbs 12, verse 14, it says, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. And I've come to realize that what we speak and the words we use reinforce our feelings and our perceptions about the experience we've just had. So when we go away and we talk about either in a positive way or a negative way about what we've just done, that actually stores up something inside of us. The positive and the negative viewpoint of what's happened or the person we've just met, we store that up inside. And just note that positive experiences don't necessarily bring you positive treasure. Okay, it's how we react to and handle and speak about the experience, the fruit of our lips, that stores up the good things or the bad things. Which means that you can go through a really tough time. You can go through a horrendous experience, which could be very damaging to you, but yet you can speak about it in a way that stores up something good inside. You can say, how can I learn from that? How does my life benefit from this? How can I make sure that I learn and other people learn from that experience? What comes out of your mouth can determine your path in life. Your declaration sets your direction. Your speech releases your success or your failure. Your confession delivers your conquest. Your proclamation determines your position. See, if you always say, I hate that, or I can't stand this, or this is rubbish, or I never get anything out of church, or I can't stand that person, you're storing up that negative confession in your life. What you're doing is you're storing up that evil treasure that Jesus talked about. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You produce what you are inside. And that's scary. And we really need to make sure that we are controlling, we're making sure that we are watching what we're saying. Because we can build up our life or we can tear down our life by the things that we allow out of our mouths from the fruit of our lips, a man or a person or a woman is filled with good things. Now, maybe some of you are sweating a little, because as you've been sitting there, you've been thinking, what do I talk about? What do I say? What words come out of my mouths? Well, that's not a bad thing. I'll let you sweat a bit more. Some of you may be asking the question, well, can I change the fruit that I produce? Or is that it now? Am I stuck forever now? Well, the answer is yes, you can. And the answer to producing different kind of fruit than what you're producing at the moment is not in becoming a Christian. If it was, those of us who have become Christians would be perfect. That would be wonderful. But it's a good start. But it needs more than that. See, you change what fruit you produce when you change what you're feeding on. So how can we do that? How can we change our fruit? I think there's three things that will be able to help us on that journey. Number one is to repent. Matthew 3 verse 8, Jesus says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And repent means to turn away from. And in your kind of normal everyday lives, if you are coming up against things that you are struggling with time after time, if you're really struggling over a particular issue that you just can't seem to get mastery of, that sin that keeps tripping you up, then there needs to be a turning away from. A turning away from that. And you know what they are. I don't need to stand here and give examples. You know the kind of things that you always struggle with. If you want to produce different fruit, different effort is required. To turn away from the things that always trip you up and move in a different direction. If you seriously want to change your fruit, do something different. Turn away. The second thing is we need to feed. Jesus said, the word has made you clean. And if you store up what you put inside of you, then make sure that what you're putting inside of you is quality. It's good. You know, on TV last year, there was a man who did an experiment of living on McDonald's food for a month. And by the end of the month, he was able to see by his skin condition and the quality of his health and his life and how he felt that a diet of McDonald's was not healthy for him. And if your constant diet is TV or gossip mags or workplace banter, then don't be surprised at the quality of fruit you produce. If you want to have quality fruit, then you've got to have quality input. You've got to feed on something that's quality. You've got to feed on something that's going to uplift you. You've got to feed on something that's going to be benefiting your life. Where do we find that? We read the Bible. We know that God's word is powerful. We know that God's word feeds us. We know that God's word is enough for us. So I'm not saying don't watch TV or don't read gossip mags. What I'm saying is put them in perspective. Get more quality inside of you. Read the thing. That's why God's put it in a book, that we can actually access it. We're not living in a culture where it's banned. It's freely available for us. Some of us have different versions of it, but just do something and read it. Get some fruit inside of you that's been produced that's quality. The third thing we can do to change our fruit is to have some control. You see, if I want to lose some weight, I have to control myself not to eat that extra slice of cheesecake. It is hard. You're absolutely right. One's okay, but going for that second slice, I really have to say no to it. And there's some things in our lives, you know, if we want to produce good fruit that people appreciate and heaven applauds, we have to let the Spirit of God put some control in our lives. You know, and when God controls us, it's not that kind of like remote control car thing where God wiggles his thumb on the controls and our lives turn around and we go off somewhere else. It's not like that at all. God gives us our free will and God gives us our own responsibilities, but he steers and directs and guides us and says, come this way. This is the way that you want to go. He doesn't force us to do anything, but he kind of just says, listen, if you want the best, then there's some things you're going to have to do and some things you're going to have to not do. And there's been times where I've felt the controlling thumb of God on my life to do something, and I've chosen my own comfort rather than be obedient. You know, and the thing I regret is that other people have missed out from my obedience, and I've missed out too. I've missed out on God's blessing, and I've missed out on his being obedient to him. See, we ask God's Spirit to form in us the fruit of what God likes. And then we should not resist him when he tries to do it. You know, so often we say, God, I want to change. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to do what you want me to do. And when he starts doing it, we don't like it. And so we resist it because we feel uncomfortable. And maybe some people have gotten so used to producing bad fruit because you've done it for so long that a new crop will feel strange to you. Well, it will. Maybe if all your life you've produced walnuts, small and tough and hard and not very tasty, and then all of a sudden you pray and God starts producing watermelons in you, it's going to feel different. You're not going to be used to it. There's going to be things going on that people will find uncomfortable about you. And that's because there's something that's transformed inside of you and it's coming out. They'll say things like, you used to laugh at that kind of joke before. They'll say, why aren't you joining in our conversation? They'll say, you're different. You're strange. What's happened? See, and that kind of thing will speak far more than you standing on a box preaching, or you forcing a tract in someone's hand, or you doing something like that. That's the power of the fruit that comes from a transformed life. It's because you've changed your input, you've changed your fruit. And the evidence is coming out of your mouth, and it's coming out in your actions, in the way you treat people, in the way that you serve, in the way that you live your life, shows the evidence of a transformed life. In Matthew 7, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by your fruit you will recognize them. The context is he's talking about false prophets. But the case here, as with many others, we can cross-reference it into what we've been looking at this morning. And that's a scary thing, you know. You see, I don't really know exactly what it means when Jesus talks about trees being chopped down and thrown into the fire. I don't really know whether that's referring to Christians that aren't producing good fruit, or whether it's to do with people who don't know Christ at all and live their life separate from him. And now is not the time for a doctrinal debate about it, but what I do understand is that God is taking our fruit bearing very seriously. And if we say we love Christ, then God expects our lives to show it. Not necessarily by our preaching, but by our natural everyday lives. They're to be filled with the evidence of what Christ is doing inside of us, changing us. A life and heart dedicated to Jesus. A soul that's only satisfied in him. You know, I wonder, and I'd love to see so much more of our lives producing genuine generosity, heartfelt compassion, humble servanthood, unbiased justice and fairness. Those are the fruits I long to see coming out of my life, that I long to see coming out of our church. But our church is known for its fruit as well. Not just for its name or its new name change, not for its big building, not for its things that it does that makes it different from the other churches, but what it does that's the fruit that comes out of our dream, the fruit that comes out of our core values that just naturally is bubbling out and refreshing people's lives. Now let me conclude, if the band can come up. Now, your fruit is saying something about you. Your fruit is revealing what's going on inside of us. The question is, do you know what it's saying? And do you like it? Someone once said, it is not what men eat, but what they digest that makes them strong. It is not what we gain, but what we save that makes us rich. It is not what we read, but what we remember that makes us learned. Not what we preach, but what we practice that makes us Christians. And I've been trying to teach us this morning that it's not good enough that you think that you live like a Christian should when the evidence is saying something that's opposite. And I'm calling us today to raise the level of good input, to store it up inside of our hearts, and to let it pour out, to release fruit that gets heaven's applause and that people taste and they say, where can I get some of that? You're different than other people. Where can I get what you have? Because if you're joining me on this journey into trying to grow more like Jesus, there should be some evidence of it coming out. There should be some evidence of what God's doing inside of us coming out. It's natural. And so I finish by asking you the question again. What is your fruit saying about you?